Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. And welcome, 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 welcome. Good afternoon, dear listeners. Obviously, this is your particular, I say particular drive time session here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. And I'm welcoming you as, technically the jingle and the promo just cited to The Home Run. You're in my company from 4:30 up until 6, and we have a lovely discussion set out for today. I say lovely because it literally has got me buzzing. Besides the obvious extra excess of energy from drinking a cup of coffee just before stepping into the studio right now. But you know what? The coffee is a main addiction discussion. Wherever you find yourself, obviously you can listen to us on the particular Eagle FM application. It's free to download on the various platforms that you find yourself. For all the particular listeners that have been there, just remember guys, just follow us on the socials as well in terms of seeing the regular particular discussions as well as also the regular particular, poster alerts that we share with you to sensitize you on upcoming discussions, talks, as well as also in-depth analysis. And once again today, technically, we've got an in-depth subject matter to focus on. So, it is pivotal. It is... I'll stick to the exciting. It is exciting to cite this because it actually shows that we've got more work to do in this particular segment. Even though the particular think tank that did this particular exercise, they presented it earlier this week. And obviously I just, went and read through the particular literature itself, that is based upon what they presented. It does provide us with a particular, talking point that, yes, in many cases, it does help you understand and view the developments in the green hydrogen sector in the scope or in the aspect of, if we look at the practicality of the situation in terms of how people will actually fit in terms of employment and in terms of participating in functions and in various dimensions in Namibia's green hydrogen development program, you sit with a discussion of, okay, do we actually have things sorted out? Now, in great length, and this is where certain particular talking points become pivotal. In great length, you have to view, first and foremost, view the particular developments in terms of the said markets that Namibia is poised to supply said particular resource with. This the particular resource being the ammonia and the hydrogen product. And then you also have to position this close to the notion in terms of, the levels that Namibia want to produce at versus the levels of associated employment and skills needed in the sphere. What would this speak of? The nice thing is specifically the fourth edition of the Hydrogen Monitor came out again. This is a particular analysis or paper analysis or research analysis that takes a look specifically at various dimensions or current talking themes in and around the green hydrogen sector of Namibia. And it slightly expands on the last one, which was based upon how do the youth participate in green hydrogen itself or green hydrogen production itself, with an expansion of do we have the skills primarily? How do we acquire these skills? Are we the knowledge bases of these particular skill sets, these technologies and the likes? Now at that junction, just literally at that stop sign or at that yield sign. No, it's a stop sign because we pulled up the handbrake. At that stop sign. Earlier today, I attended, in terms of obviously media coverage, I attended a particular conference, or the start of a conference, which the Prime Minister also attended because he was also a guest of honor and a guest speaker there, based upon climate change and, okay, the thing's name was known as Climate Change and Futures. That's the said conference name. But the startling thing that I saw was who actually organized it alongside the NCRST. Now, this is a conversation that still has to take place a little bit later in terms of the home runs planning, but I'm just citing to you one pivotal thing in terms of the discussions at hand. Now, I'm not someone that is ashamed or embarrassed about, you know, being a fan of South Africa's particular industrial prowess and South Africa's particular industrial position on the African continent and even on a global scale. South Africa itself is a champion in its own way, specifically when it comes to industrialization. And obviously Namibia is trying to achieve a large part of Namibia's industrial goals through the Green Hydrogen Project. South Africa showed up with this organization of this particular climate change conference taking place here in the capital with an agency, a government agency that has been funding research and scientific development in South Africa since 1968. I will say it again. An agency showed up because they are technically sort of like this pivotal agency itself in research and development in the realm of human sciences. So when you think about human sciences, I only also discovered the other day what human sciences technically are. So you've got to look at everything around us in terms of where us as humans interact with the natural world. So we're talking about things like geology. We're talking about things like botany or botanists, you know, people that study plants. You've got to look at things like the nature conservation guys. You've got to look at things like veterinarians. You know, they themselves, obviously, they are experts in zoology. Is the actual, I think it's the actual discipline. And then all those particular things in its own right. You also find the chemists in there and all that other matter of fact, talking points collected in that pretty broad theme known as human sciences. This agency, one of the its presenters there, one of the academics that are currently still presenting, one of the academics cited there that this agency, this South African agency, the name is the HSRC, yeah, the Human Sciences Research Council of South Africa. That's its name, the HSRC. This agency provides targeted funding for research and development in universities, in its universities. Not the weird scenarios in terms of where Namibian universities sometimes have to partner up through a bilateral agreement on higher education or research and science and what have you and what have you dimensions. That has to be negotiated not just on the level specifically of an agency of the government, but also through a ministry of the government, and then obviously through another ministry, which is a sister ministry like international relations, so that there is some sort of a knowledge sharing and capacity development scenario that Namibia can extract from this particular engagement. And Namibia is always on these particular receiving end negotiations. I know. It's a well-documented discussion in terms of how we always enter negotiations on a sort of like a back foot. But the simple thing that I'm always impressed by from South Africa, and I had this discussion also earlier today with another fellow, Vintuker. If you look at South Africa's economy, South Africa can afford to lose a company, to close down its business, retrench 10,000 South Africans, And then there will be two other companies, multinational companies, willing to step in and technically each generate jobs for 10,000. Now, obviously, in the realm of economics, not in the realm of economics, in the realm of business, no, not even business and administration. In the realm of entrepreneurship, yes, in entrepreneurship. In the realm of entrepreneurship, the role of the private sector is to provide a service or a product to consumers. Let me say that again, is to provide a product or a service to consumers. The reason why you have to look at industrialization is that you have to enhance product offerings and services. Nowhere ever have I ever seen a marketing plan or a business plan that has said, I'm here to make so many jobs. You are just asked, please provide an organogram of what your possible company structure would look like if you go for funding. Then you can put your cat there. You can put your favorite cow on the farm. You can put your family chicken there. You can have your niece there who probably would be a 5-year-old, you know, as company secretary. And you can include your half brother's little child there in one dimension. But before that, ad break.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 6x1 liter Rite brand long life full cream milk for only $119.99 per pack. And 4 kg real good frozen chicken, mixed portions, only $194.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 9 November 2025. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Coming back there from that quick break right there, dear listeners, I do see the phone line was flashing. Don't worry, dear listeners, you can always participate. Come through at 083-288-401. Let's have a listen to what you want to add. That's obviously in terms of the time frame that I am flying solo here on the home run, which is until the end of this particular week, which is obviously works to your particular benefit. But up until my partner in crime returns, you know, obviously we just might have a stipend once again of interaction. Now, where I left off with the entrepreneurship ideal or perspective or ideology just before the ad break. Nowhere has any private sector person or any business owner that you might have known ever said, the reason I am opening up a business is to give jobs. No way. Many businesses that you see in the private sector, and I'm not talking about a state-owned company. I'm talking about actual private sector businesses where people went and borrowed money or people converted one asset in terms of getting cash for collateral to start this particular endeavor. All those particular variations, examples, templates, all of them was a scenario of someone who wanted to become their own boss. Not just to become their own boss, but also become self-sufficient. Let's take the quick caller. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Hey, I knew you are going to pick up, man.
Uncle Bono, let's not mention names. Let's not mention names. He just might be listening.
Because I believe.
Yeah.
When there is not, it's not our, that, how is, somebody confesses himself.
Mm.
When you say me, I'm a conservative.
Mm.
Yeah, fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Except you will be so much conservative to the point that, yes, you understand?
Mm.
So now I was in a kind of a discussion almost for 3 hours because I was busy doing something. I'm still going to talk. I'm just trying to incorporate your points.
Yeah.
So much important. In issues of private sector.
Mm.
Well, you know, they had the forum that took place. You know, you are always covering those events.
Mm.
So that forum was talking about, it concerns, in fact, between the public-private partnership or sector, whatever you call it.
Mm.
So now, that thing is so much criticized. I didn't know, especially from the opposition.
Mm.
And I was engaging with people who were having a conversation. He brought two issues, important issues. One of them is that why should the government ask the private sector to come in and create employment and make profits and all these other things?
Yeah.
So now, just to provide service and product that you are talking about.
Mm.
And then these guys, man. And they were even dressing in their political courts. I'm not going to mention them now.
Mm.
But sometimes it's also necessary because so you are like a, you know, the distractor.
Mm.
You know what they call distractor. And that word is actually spoken to me. I really learned it more from you in the context of it and things like that.
Mm.
But you see that people are deliberately, so they are even shaming that that follow, that dialogue that took place, the conversation.
Yeah.
So now, fine, if the government is appealing to the private sector, and we really talked and we talked and we talked, and I discovered that, no wonder the opposition is not in opposition. So that's my word now, you know, my interpretation.
No.
So the South African economy, for us, we know, when we say, for us, we are so vulnerable.
Mm. Okay?
More especially because of our population. And the capacity also is a problem. And all these other things, working together is another issue.
Yeah.
Just to collaborate. That's why people are not happy with that private sector. A conversation took place.
Mm.
And these are the people that we should be depending on. And remember, they are also poaching. Most of the people who are running those institutions, private sectors, and except is, you know, some of them, those institutions, they want to work in the government. So they acquire a lot of things. I'm just saying some.
Yeah.
But I work in the collaboration and all these other things. We require each and everyone to participate. Now, if you are now criticizing that partnership, they're even saying, no. The president, you know, that's the quoting Article 41.
Mm.
Yeah, they're mentioning the president and the office. How can the president become a minister? What was I said? That's not what it says.
No, it's not even Article 41, Angabona. Do you know what's the worst part?
I had that.
Yeah, no, it's not just 41, but you actually have to go to Article, is it 32 or 34? The president, if the way someone was appointed by the president is the same way the president can remove the person. And
yes.
You don't even need a disciplinary to be removed.
Apparently, the reason why the president say he oversee that thing for in the interim.
Yeah.
Because the people are not there. And the people are starting. And they are saying they are leaders. And they are leaders. I know the name. My friend, the language that comes from their mouth.
Mm.
So just to make sure that I see you guys, you are the one who are actually making the opposition not to be effective.
Uncle Wana, don't say those things out loud. Don't say those things out loud. We're anyway in that season. Don't say those things out loud, Uncle Wana.
I'm telling you. And in that thing, you know, there are students making copies and things like that. And I say, look guys, leaders, you know, is this the ethical and all this language is it?
Yeah.
And they were even putting on their t-shirt again.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, maybe it's a coincidence. I say, if your leader could be here, those one that I know in your party, they would discipline you. So, Dwight.
Mm.
So I know you are still going on. I just interrupted you because of that particular discussion on the private sector.
No, it's 100%.
I was really emphasizing it.
Yeah.
The role of the private sector and how they can come in. We are seeing how people are creating these things. So I think it's just a good thing for our development.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. Let me listen to you so that we come in after some time.
Not a problem. Thanks,
Angabona. I know you are a very democratic person. So if it was not you, we're going to come in only when it's 5 minutes.
I want to leave those things.
Oh, right. Conservative Party. Are they not there in Europe? And
yeah, they are. They are. All right, Angabona.
So thank you very much, my brother. God bless.
You too, Angabona. Thanks. So, dear listeners, yes, obviously you can, if you ever look at discourse in the realm or discourse in Namibia, and I'm even talking about when you look at social media comments in the comment section underneath posts, underneath, various kinds of particular talking points. Sometimes you would find pure comedy. I know it's the best. You would find pure comedy. Other times you would find pure hatred in some cases. In some cases you'll even find a whole battle zone of war, of the war of the words going on in a comment section on a post on social media, which is which is obviously the latest level of human interaction. But in the real world discussions, obviously, you find very few instances where people can actually, analyze tones, analyze perspectives, provide further context of things, because also a comment section on a social media platform is also limited by the amount of characters. You guys all know that. We all know that in terms of the limitation there. So you can't really express yourself and you really have condensed things. And if your mother tongue is not English, don't worry guys. My mother tongue is not English. My mother tongue is full on Afrikaans. I'm on other levels there at home. The downside is obviously, technically, English is not one of our indigenous languages. Now, in the realm of discourse, and the discourse has also been discourse upon Namibia's industrialization and its industrial path. Now, the particular template I left off with in terms of that South Africa is an agency that is, that has been funding research and development just in the human sciences realm allows for the private sector to observe what the researchers are doing, being able to tap into this knowledge and technical know-how, and then be able to take that into the market. In the realm also of industrialization is about modernization. And the unfortunate thing for many of us who believe in the role that our traditional leaders and the traditional authorities have to play a pivotal part in Namibia's particular modernization. It's actually a major threat to traditional leaders. It's actually a major threat to the traditional authorities. And it's a major threat to traditional customs, ways of life, and even practices, everyday practices. It's a major threat, modernization. Go look it up, guys. Go read it up. The discussion I had on Sunday morning was my Sunday morning take. When I researched that particular subject matter, I was like hit with 50,000 light bulb realities at the same time from a couple of sentences. Even though you heard me just, you know, rattle off a few sentences here for you and explain in depth some of those particular points. The thing with modernization is modernization aims to copycat a specific template. What is this template? This template is a template potentially of the Western world. So I'm talking about Northern Hemisphere, specifically Europe, Western Europe and North America. That's the template. Namibia has a clear cut. We've clearly said, even in NDB6, we are clearly saying we wish to modernize. Now, one of the pathways to modernize is through Namibia's green hydrogen programs or phases or projects, whatever you want to call it. In that realm, please do not view many of it as government projects. Please, guys, whatever you do, don't view it as a government project. You can view it as a triple P initiative. You can view it in that light because it technically gives the flavors. It does project itself, I'm now using psychological terms, it does project itself as a triple P, but in essence, it's a private sector led initiative. At every turn, it's private sector representatives, private sector installations, private sector ownership, Private sector needs. Private sector wants. Private sector ambitions. Which is also a little bit of a dimension specifically, where the IPPR's hydrogen monitor, green hydrogen monitor, they also primarily try to use the term or the discourse contained in the latest monitor also cites that the jobs are something that this project will provide because it had been endorsed in the past years by government as a potential avenue for mass employment. It's still on the table. It still has to materialize. And like I've said also in many cases, we have to wait and see how things actually materialize. And even though earlier this year, President Nandi Ndaitwa was literally on site at the high iron complex to switch on the button of one of the furnaces or one of the machines that literally made the first particular sort of like carbon-free steel product or metal products or you know whatever they make there. We still have to wait for a sequence of time or a large amount of time to pass by in order for you to see a trend. You see, I can't come and talk to you about a five day time frame where the actual ambition is to try and see, for how long something had been in effect and for how long this particular effect had an actual impact. Now, what is the effect? The effect being specifically the recently announced hyphens skills mapping exercise. At that event itself, the hyphen executive cited specifically that they are waiting for as many Namibians to participate in that thing. So that exercise in itself could end up until next year, October. A whole year. And remember I told you that the first time I heard that they wanted to do this was at a Ministry of Labor discussion. I mentioned this back on Monday. It was at a Ministry of Labor discussion. Either last year, 2024, when it was the discussion about the psychometrics, or the year before that when the Ministry of Labor invited the International Labor Organization economists, labor economists that they brought in to provide that, what's that matrix's name? The SAM matrix. But to come and, you know, launch this matrix discussion. And people were asking, what's the point of this particular matrix? And at that scenario, I just forgot which of the two settings it was, but it was administrative labor, was someone got up from hyphen and they said, we are in the process of designing something similar to what the ILO guys presented or the psychometric presentation outlined in terms of assessing and seeing what kind of skills Namibia has for green hydrogen, how many of these Namibians have the relevant or needed skills, and in what capacities can people participate in, and to check and assess whether or not if there should be an updating, an upskilling, an upgrading, a reteaching, a what's the other word, or a repurposing of a certain skill set to meet the needs in the green hydrogen sector. Now you can clearly see the triple P. You can clearly see it. But what is materializing on the ground is pure private sector. It's pure private sector. I also now realize in the formulation of my script earlier today, as well as also going through the literature and checking out, you know, what new came up, is that primarily since green hydrogen is a manufacturing process, it stands the chance of dominating Namibia's manufacturing scene. But we end up with the same particular problem as we ended up with the same conclusion of yesterday's AU discussion based upon Africa financing its own particular development pathway. Thus, you determine your own development trajectory. You determine your own development goals. You collaborate. You coordinate. You combine resources. You fund each other. Meaning I go borrow from Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe borrows from Mozambique. Mozambique borrows from Tanzania. Tanzania borrows from DRC. I know DRC won't go borrow from Rwanda, so don't worry. I would have not connected the dot there. Angola borrows from Equatorial Guinea. Equatorial Guinea borrows from Gabon. Gabon borrows from Cameroon. And so you strengthen each other's particular financial markets. Secondly, also, it helps to boost and it literally projects to the various economies of the 54 economies on the country, on the continent, that we are more concerned with each other's well-being. That we care for each other, for each other's particular economic developments. That we wish to achieve the heightened level of continental integration, economic integration, at a faster rate because we can actually make things happen. But the reality on the ground, in a context of Namibia, is that you can clearly see we are still continuing with a relationship with known, trusted economic partners, with a majority of them not being African. Thus, the discourse reaches the particular conclusion that unfortunately, we are once again playing to the stereotype of that Africa is known for cheap labor, cheap resources, cheap land, and what's the other cheap thing? And yeah, and even cheap food. And our food is way better. But even cheap food. Cheap food. Why do you have to look at it in this particular perspective? Even though that's a branch out of an economic explainer, that technically defines the discussion in terms of how the continent of Africa has to view itself in the new fuels, the new energy sources, and the new particular manufacturing outcomes that countries from the Northern Hemisphere, from the developed Northern Hemisphere, wish to achieve. That the countries and their climate agendas of moving away and becoming carbon neutral, or breaking their carbon reliance on fossil fuels, on fossil fuel imports from Russia, and thus achieving their own particular green goals. When you view those particular developments that are happening there in Brussels, that is happening in Berlin, I have not seen Paris's particular climate discussion. I'm not talking about the Paris climate deal. I'm talking about Paris in terms of the governance, the government of France, coming out and being a major, green hydrogen or energy proponent, you know, promoting a specific kind of a green energy source. And even though they sit with the largest collection now in Europe of nuclear power stations, the Germans commenced yesterday with the destruction of one of the decommissioned nuclear power stations because the Germans switched off all their nuclear power stations in 2022 and 2023. They switched it all off. Now you've got to understand Namibia's particular development partner, Germany, who is the biggest backer of the green hydrogen program in the country. They are determined to achieve their climate goals through Namibia. Let me say that again. It's not a political statement. There are things in the news happening in Germany that I have to pick up in small bits and pieces somewhere, over there, over here, and somewhere over there. That the Germans are serious. And I've said this consistently. The Germans are serious. The German government is serious. many people would be citing, and some of them were citing even like the NTLA and the NTLA and the OTA in that statement that I wrote for that article specifically about the victory that they supposedly scored in terms of the ongoing negotiations discussion in Namibia's context, but in terms of Namibia and Germany's relationship, that RWE's, you know, particular withdrawal from the MOU of supply in terms of, you know, green hydrogen from Namibia's green hydrogen projects and program. It wasn't that. Because do you know what I discovered when I went through the statement that was supplied by the green hydrogen program, which was, this whole statement was in German. And obviously, Google is a wonderful thing. All I did was just Google translate the whole page. All those guys spoke of, the energy company, was they had to achieve a financial steadiness plateau. The financial steadiness plateau was a scenario of they needed to abandon certain particular endeavors, because this MOU that was signed would have meant that the next phase of the MOU meant, let's transfer this MOU, or let's convert this MOU now into an actual agreement, a trade agreement, a business agreement, an agreement with obligations and responsibilities of buyer and seller. That's all it meant. And all RWE did was they backed out of the particular agreement early enough so as not to find themselves legally compliant in a future date, which would have been in this year or next year, 2026. It's basic commercial activities, guys. You know that activity when you accidentally make an incorrect purchase, and then your family member scolds you, which is usually your mom or your wife or your girlfriend. Yeah, you bought the wrong milk or the wrong particular product, or you forgot the tomatoes, or you forgot something, or you bought the incorrect flavor of something. Go back and return it and bring the right thing. And then so you find yourself walking there, your own induced walk of shame, because now you have to do what you perceive to be an embarrassing thing. I'd like to return this product because I bought the wrong thing, and I'd like to, you know, exchange it for the right one that I'm supposed to buy. I was supposed to buy. And then the store clerk is very friendly and immediately helps you and tells you, don't worry, sir. It's an easy peasy lemon squeezy process. Here you go. We'll just reverse this transaction. The money that is there, we just apply it to the new transaction. Voila. I sometimes even ask those store clerks, do I need to sign anything? They said, no, sir, don't worry. We'll just issue you with a new receipt. Here you go. And this receipt is mine, which shows the transference from this transaction to that transaction has been done. It's above board. Voila. Straight. There you go. Straightforward. Straightforward stuff. Straightforward stuff. Straightforward stuff. Now, obviously, in the realm of noise, of discourse, of politics, not politics of political parties, politics of everyday people, and focus groups, and interest groups, and lobbyists, and various components of society. Obviously, people would try to score as many particular, which would seem easy wins, but they're not easy. Because the statement that I went and Google translated, and the article is there in September, in last month's particular, the Villager e-paper. The article is there. I translated it. I added that part specifically. Is that it all meant that RWE had overextended their particular, commitments in various energy projects. They needed to streamline things. So they had to cancel few things that they were not financially obligated to commit to, or they had no financial obligations to, and buying in the meantime, this MOU, which said in future, potentially, because I have not seen the MOU, but the language describes in future, they would have commenced to the next level of an agreement. All this means is just let's realign. And much of their focus has been in solar energy production in North America and in Europe. So RWE focused a lot of its investment focus on photovoltaic infrastructure development. So there you go. That's the explainer. You get into the explainer that comes out of the latest Hydrogen Monitor specifically, where the lead article itself cites that will we be able to get the Namibians that have the skill sets there? Now, I told you, this is an expansion from a previous discussion as well. Being that, will we actually have the adequate amount of Namibians participating at the literal launch, unveiling, participation, and so forth? I know, guys, I sometimes knock my fellow journalists from other media houses, specifically in terms of how they sometimes see, but I also look to them sometimes as fellow knowledge hubs. But I'll come back, give you that explainer after the break.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. So we come back, dear listeners, and if you have been listening and you've tuned in just now as well, so it's two different people, obviously. This is your Home Run in your drive time session, Namibian drive time session, obviously, because it's from 4:30 up until 6, and obviously here daily on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM, obviously give you my salutations and welcome to this somewhat confusingly Wednesday afternoon. Because it doesn't know if it wants to rain, or it doesn't know if it wants to shine, and it doesn't know if it wants to be cool, and doesn't know if it wants to be warm, but we take it whichever way it comes. However, where we left off is we sometimes view the talking point of how the people that actually disseminate information to you. So I'm assuming you, as an Eagle FM listener there, you read broadly. You view content on a broad basis. So you are sort of like, you know, exposed to various communication platforms out there. And the people who produce things to you for these particular various platforms, whether or not, and I'm assuming also, that you critically analyze what they're giving you. They're critically analyzing what they're giving you. For example, there's a whole bunch of, I'll call them wannabe, but they've got, you know, substantial followings on their YouTube pages. African content makers who leverage off, you know, they take reports of from various African countries, and then the thumbnail, which is that little description there in the video or on the video or below the video on YouTube, is so misleading. You even feel like downvoting, meaning ratioing that particular video just for its misleading content. One lady is from Ethiopia. There's a guy from Nigeria. Then it's a bunch of guys here from South Africa as well. And in so many cases, they don't listen. They don't understand the context. They don't read further. They just take the video just like that, cut the part that they want, throw it in, and then they fill gaps there with no context of understanding from which particular direction the video is actually speaking from. And for some reason, they are loving any particular updates that come about from Namibia from our president. Just know that. Then, I'm talking about the local journalists, the fellow journalists here in Namibia as well, the context there as well. Because one thing that became very apparent yesterday, not yesterday, the day before, on Monday, and I know some of you might have seen that video where the president told the Ministry of Mines and Energy staff, the media told me that this is about an oil block negotiation or process or situation, is the supposed reason as to why the former minister became a former minister or was removed from his post. I had to put it like that, guys. I'm sorry. I had to put the sentence like that. Which even means that the actual reason that the media publication puts out there to you, they don't even know what's the actual reality. Because what the president confirmed in that small snippet, that's as Dwight was asked by the communication team of the presidency, please come out because it's supposed to be closed doors. And then this person is sitting at the back who took that video. They were sitting at the back. And I come, Dwight was standing outside because Dwight couldn't come in because the VVIP detail didn't want me to re-enter. But the president said there in that video, She technically says it. It's not the reason as to why I let the guy go or removed him. Now, dear listeners, when you look at critical discourse theory, that discussion around critical discourse theory, you have to understand who is saying what. Now, in the realm of who is saying what, the talking point of where the potential skill sets of Namibia comes from for green hydrogen has been one such particular hot topic. Headache, if you want to call it a headache. If you want to call it a problem child, I'm now talking in the case of the Boston Consulting Group's own particular product life cycle or product performance matrix that they worked out. Problem child was the one quadrant. You had problem child star, dog, and what's the last one? Cash cow. Yes, cash cow. Now every business wants a cash cow. Green hydrogen is going to be a cash cow. Currently, green hydrogen finds itself in problem child and in star status. It is not yet in dog status. Dog status, I know, it's a very noble animal, the dog. But primarily how the context of the Boston Consulting Group's matrix explains, you know, a strategic business unit or a product is a scenario of a recycling phase or a sort of like a circular positioning of a particular thing, product, business unit, or service or whatever. Green hydrogen will become a cash cow. And a cash cow is the exact product that every private sector company wants. It's a product that just makes money. People just buy it. It's like bread.
It's like Coca-Cola. It's like the Toyota Corolla or the Hilux Bucky. You know, Toyota back in its city of, is it Yokohama? Or is it Toyota City? Toyota headquarters in Toyota City, there in Japan. They know what Africans want. Because they can see it in graphs and in figures and in statistics. The Africans will buy that Toyota Corolla just like that. You don't even need a business. You just need the ship to show up and someone there to stand with a swiping machine. But obviously, you need the formal installations and the formalities to take place. They know that the Hilux Bucky will always sell. And that's specifically what the EU is seeing in hydrogen, in green hydrogen, or in hydrogen production. That is what they are seeing. So far, the various articles I've written myself about green hydrogen and the particular analyses provided about green hydrogen has been ones based upon the economic formulas, the feasibility in terms of what price is to be achieved and who is supposed to subsidize what. And there is still much confusion in the local sphere in Namibia. Now, it doesn't matter how many particular rainbow colors I turn here in studio trying to educate you. Guys, firstly, the analysis when we looked at the potential 400,000 jobs to achieve is a bit heavy. Because 400,000 jobs is literally the whole economy. And 500,000 Namibians are spread over public and private sector. Not one sector. Public and private sector. Not one industry, public and private sector together. Together. 500,000 people. For one specific targeted sector in an industry known as manufacturing industry. One sector in the manufacturing industry. Wishes to provide 400,000 jobs. It is intense. The obvious particular, and this is where I agree, because we still have to see this particular reality take place, but the one thing that annoys me the most is we don't get up-to-date employment statistics about people losing their jobs and people being hired into jobs. We don't get this thing. Even the South Africans provide such regular statistics every month. Even the South Africans do this. It's the reason why I always look to South Africa in terms of what does optimum potential level of governance look like. It's not an ILO situation or a UN particular template or a European template or an EU template of something. It is just drive across the Orange River. Net here, so. Net here. Drive to Cape Town or drive to Pretoria. South Africa has a similar agency like the NSA. Stats SA. But Stats SA responds to no ministry. They're not below any ministry. They are an independent, okay, not independent because it's still a government agency, but they are an independent government authority. They don't fall under a ministry. Which is technically also what our NSA, I think, is supposed to be. But I have a suspicion it might be under the NSA response to the Minister of Finance. Because the extended name of Minister of Finance is and state-owned enterprises. So they are answering to someone. Stats SA can give you any statistic of South Africa. Now, in economic planning, guys, if you are private sector and you need to know, I'm now a green hydrogen operator. If you need to know, how many people do I need for a specific exercise in my production method? The question, obviously, or the hypothesis that comes through is, Will we have the skills? We will have the skills. The question you have to ask with that question is, but how many people will have those skills? From the last particular engagement based upon the youth in green hydrogen dimension, is that the TVET guy who stood next to the engineer, and the engineer gave us there an explainer in terms of how he's got his basic engineering that he already completed at NUST, but he has to do a master's and another particular advanced training, which he can only do in Germany, which is not even localized in Namibia, which once again speaks towards, but we thought that our universities were supposed to be equipped to train these skills. Now, that is supposedly still happening, because that's one of the reasons in terms of why there was a campus opened up in Lüderitz to meet that particular need, so that the students are very close, literally, to where they need to go and intern and to be trained. So that obviously speaks to a direct particular, if you can call it like a supply channel. The other dimension that also adds on top of this is a dimension in terms of what are the particular people we need? And one of the said particular talking points coming out is wind technicians for the wind turbines. Before we continue, ad break.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. IMBA ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von IMBA freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnementplänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was IMBA zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. IMBA, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Sometimes you have to raise a Windhoek beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Windhoek beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Windhoek, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Coming back there from the ad break, dear listeners, welcoming you once again for being here with me on your drive time session here specifically on the home run. There's always a silver lining. Before the break, I told you there are certain specific kinds of technicians, skilled artisans that we will need. The clock is against us. It definitely is against us. The clock is against us. Whether you look at the hype specifically around, okay, now how often is green hydrogen being spoken about now in a regional, in a national or at a national level? Yeah, sure. The same particular proponents that obviously were part of the previous administrations, which was technically former President Geingob's administration. Many of those particular individuals are no longer there. And that obviously the new administration under President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwa is a little bit different, because now it speaks about broad-based economic development of Namibia, not just targeted or focused, broad-based. And when you look at broad-based discussions, like NDB6 literally also explains to you how to achieve certain particular goals, because they explain it there, and they set out a specific goal for them, meaning a time frame or a period by which to achieve certain things. And the president herself has cited specifically that there should be regular reporting now from the regions, local authorities and the likes, which also spoke to the exercise that Minister Shafuda had to do before 21 October last week specifically, where she had to meet with her fellow public servants in the regions and the local authorities about why has only below 30% of the development budget been spent. With all of those particular you know, contributor citing, but the, what's the thing's name? The procurement process or the procurement system is a cumbersome thing. Okay, it's a cumbersome thing. Now, at the heart of that, that literally should tell you that the snags, the hiccups, the hurdles we create for ourselves are hiccups and hurdles to try and avoid one of the biggest stereotypes of Africans, which is you and me, as well as also to avoid potential man-made disasters from coming about. What are the man-made disasters? The man-made disasters is like the mass confusion about around Madagascar. That's a man-made disaster. Where your president has to flee the country. Has to flee literally to the island of Mayotte. I think he's on another French territory. I think he's on Reunion. The Madagascan president. Primarily because supposedly it's the Gen Zs that were demanding water and electricity. But the question I would have asked as any particular sane or logically thinking person is, do they have money for the water and electricity? Because water and electricity and the management around water and electricity costs money. For you to want something speaks towards the particular financial space that your government can work with. I mean, we've got civil society here in Namibia that are actually giving suggestions to government. They actually tell the government, let's meet. Let's sit around the table. Let's meet. They actually give a suggestion that can lead to economic prosperity. That can lead to heightened economic activity being achieved. That can lead to potential heightened levels of tax revenue collection. Namara, you must listen. You must listen. It is there. It's literally there. I'm obviously talking about the Universal Basic Income Grant initiatives. The urban, the rural, the community-based rural development programs that I've seen, the people I've interviewed and the people I've spoken to. Because all those things technically helps the private sector to understand, okay, so development is happening there. So in my future business planning for the current enterprise I own, I can see myself expanding my market reach, let's say to Tsumkwe or to Leonardville, which is technically Leonardville. For all you Omaeke people that say Leonardville, it's Leonardville. Sorry, guys. I mean, it's an English word. Or you can try and expand to Stamprit. Or you can expand to Divundu. Sorry, Helmut, for using Divundu. But these particular areas that I cited there are the particular areas that need the economic boost. Now, when you look at manufacturing, those areas that I just mentioned to you, unfortunately, they are outside of the spectrum of possible manufacturing. Because the manufacturing discussion is concerned and concentrated in green hydrogen. Concerned and concentrated. Another dimension is also the dimension of, what do they call that thing? Haste. I know, I'm coining a new phrase here, and I'm coining a new particular dimension, thought dimension here. The dimension or the economic theory of haste, according to Dwight Links, is a dimension which I've only seen in developing countries, specifically in Africa and even in Namibia, where a university graduate steps today out of their graduation hall that takes place at some of these particular, well, you know, nationally famous conferencing sites here in Windhoek. And then they come and tell you, yeah, now I want to be a CEO in your company. With what experience? Yeah, you can be a CEO probably in your parents' backyard. Yeah, you can manage over there. You can go and manage there. The rest of the world doesn't care who you are with that qualification. No, really. The rest of the world doesn't care who you are with that qualification. Because you are potentially one in a million of the other 999,999 people that got that same qualification, who thought the same way like you thought, and who need a reality check in terms of being told, hey, listen, but there are more experienced people with the same qualification who have worked longer on the same particular field like you. They didn't do a 6-month or 3-month internship like you. They actually built the knowledge by which you studied. On the opposite end of that particular dimension is the one based, is the economic theory of parents and, some government officials that have told graduates, yeah, then now start a company. With what money? Now we hear that we've got a National Youth Fund, which excludes yours truly, people like Dwight, because I'm now outside of that youth, phrase, unfortunately. I'm so glad a woman stood up last week there at that public-private forum discussion there with the president, so that the president also heard it. Why didn't they establish a fund similar to the National Youth Fund for that project discussion that is open-ended to all Namibians to come with business ideas? Why didn't they not do that? Because then you would have seen Namibians that potentially have the expertise of dealing in the green hydrogen field. Because there's a Namibian working there that sees how the technology works. That realizes these are the times of trade negotiations taking place between countries. Why, if I know I'm not going to work here forever in this particular green hydrogen project, will I have the opportunity or the possibility of opening a similar company that is Namibian that can then trade in the same particular resource? Guess who's in control of all green hydrogen technology? Besides the windmill or the wind turbine and the solar panels and the copper cabling and the welding and installation and construction work, guess who's in charge of all the other things, all the other technology around it? It either comes out of China or it either comes out of Germany. It's two countries. Two countries. The Japanese are doing their own thing. Because the Japanese, through Toyota, are trying to convince the world in the world of motoring, switch over to this, potentially try out this technology. But the state of California is, they are trying to withdraw their subsidy, which was the reason for the particular rollout that the Japanese did for green hydrogen through the Toyota Mirai in California. You could only buy that car in California. You could not buy that car in the rest of the United States. An economy, a market of 330 million Americans. You could only buy that in the state of California, that car. You could only refuel that car in the state of California. Because the other states in the United States were averse. They were hesitant. They saw risk factors to containing and housing and installing these particular green hydrogen infrastructure, as well as also the subsidy request. Because remember, guys, at the heart of a country's economy is that the private sector talks to the public sector, and then they ask the public sector, so you want me to employ people? What's the incentive you're going to give me as government, to me, the private sector company, to employ these Namibians? What incentive are you going to give me? And if the incentive comes through in the format from a local authority, well, we will give you the land on a discounted rate, and we will give you the water and electricity on a suspended rate, which you will only pay 5 years afterwards. The basic inputs, but crucial inputs. Basic, but crucial. Because in many cases, the reason why I showcased critically think about the information that you consume, that you are exposed to. One of the basic questions you sometimes have to ask yourself is, did I learn anything new? Or am I more confused? Have I been left with more questions that had actually been answered? Or did someone just purely write me a Brothers Grimm fairy tale that I can immediately forget 5 seconds after finishing it? And if someone asked me, what did you read today? I could tell them I actually read nothing, because what I read gave me nothing. The reason for that is, when you look at critical discourse theory, the subject that I had, critical discourse theory is based upon who is saying what, under what context, how are they saying it, and then who is capturing this content, under what context are they capturing it, and how are they distributing this information to an audience? How are they framing it? How are they positioning it? How are they summarizing it for this audience? Important factors. We'll come back, dear listeners, right after the short break, and we'll see each other right after this.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Stop everything. These bargains that you save are too good to pass by. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just $194.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilograms pasta polana, $109.99 Namibian dollars. 10 kilogram top score instant maize porridge, also just $109.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Rama 70% fat spread, just $27.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram U brand frozen mixed vegetables, just $36.99 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes, we all save. You save.
Now we come back, dear listeners. I mentioned a lot. I spoke a lot specifically about, critical discourse. The reason is I still encounter so much confusion, and I still encounter so many particular varying degrees about the same information. Now, obviously, yes, it's not my job nor my role to try and convince you about the benefits of a technology. It's not my job. I spoke about the technology because I saw the promise. We cannot participate in oil and gas, even though we've got this whole other storm happening here internally in Namibia about oil and gas, is because oil and gas in its own right is an ugly political animal. That sector is so ugly. There are companies so powerful who have budgets or even bank accounts the size of 5 Namibias. You don't want to be stepping into that discussion without knowing where, which position or which role you'll be occupying in those kinds of negotiations. Yes, dear listeners. And obviously, we see the ethics or the ethical proposition or the ethical position that a product like green hydrogen wishes to achieve. The ethical proposition is it's going to be an export product. It's going to be an export product. The other ethical dimension that it proposed, that it suggests, is that there are going to be Namibians that will help with the installation, with the operations, with the management, with the technical components of this particular manufacturing process. The unethical noise are the dimensions popping up about saying, yeah, we were the reason as to why RWE's, rescinded or backtracked on an MOU with Hyphen. What? What? No. Clearly, it's on their website. It says it clearly. They needed to refocus. They needed to re-strategize, and they needed to initiate a stock buyback. And if you don't know what a stock buyback is, it's technically the shareholders wanted money. And the CEO and the financial manager of that company had to go like, oh, you know what? We've got to do something. Let's cut our losses with certain particular commitments where we've placed money just there in the event that we've got to activate that money. And we recall that money and we buy back stock that are on, that is on the German, is it the German DAX? Was, no, the FTSE 100 is the UK. The CAC 40 is France. Yeah, it's the German DAX, the Frankfurter DAX, the stock exchange in Germany. That's it. That's what they did. Their shareholders needed money. That CEO had to think quick. They wrote that statement and they said, here, we need to refocus, re-strategize. There we go. The noise is straightforward. There's no ambiguity there even. The noise, however, is created in a Namibian context. Some people have labeled the particular green hydrogen project as a capital project. Capital project is exemplified, is literally defined by, did the government put money down and said, this is our project and you're going to build it for me? We were donated the money. It's not even money that comes out of our national budget. It's not even money that was collected from you as a taxpayer. The money was given to us. Given to us. For free even. Gratis geld. That's what Namibia even got. Free money. Free money. The clock is always against us regarding the employment aspect. This is clearly looking more, in my particular view, it's clearly looking more and more and more like, specifically, we won't have enough Namibians being at the more advanced skill sets by the time that that Namibia actually starts producing and actually starts exporting green hydrogen and ammonia. We won't be. We won't be. I'll tell you now, guys. We won't be. If you actually know what are the particular cost impacts or the cost limitations for green hydrogen production, it is based upon the subsidies that have not to come from the Namibian government, but from the German government or from the Euro Parliament, the EU Parliament. It has to come from them. It's, the subsidy is a discussion, and it's a lovely article that the economist, Mr. Roman Greenberg wrote in the very first hydrogen monitor, green hydrogen monitor by the IPPR, the very first green hydrogen monitor, a very lovely article. And I also wrote an article based upon that analysis that he provided, is that literally it's based upon, and this is what governments in those countries do. They subsidize their sectors. They subsidize their sectors. I'm already showing you that Namibia is not even at that level of subsidization, because the discourse that exists in the world of commercial activity in Namibia is that we've got a large particular social or societal perspective that any kind of business that the public sector has to do with the private sector is taboo. It is wrong to do business with the private sector. It is wrong for the private sector to come and demand for some sort of incentives from the public sector. It is wrong for the private sector to be a major economic force in the Namibian economy. But at the same time, it's the private sector that has to give people jobs. It's at the same time that the private sector has to provide CSR programs for the much needed community members and communities in Namibia. It's the same private sector that has to now be taxed to its teeth, or even to its nostrils, regarding the supposed tax exemption, no, tax evasion and tax avoidance mechanisms. The private sector can be classified into various scenarios. You can get MSMEs. You can get multinationals. You can get joint ventures. You can get, triple P initiatives. You can get, what they call that? Those, it's also joint ventures based upon company, a company and a, and a, and another legal entity that opens up a new company. It's meaning they own the company. It's a split partnership there. You can get those variations happening right there. It can be a family business. So now, if I go start a family business with my family, it's completely hypothetical, guys. I'm not yet married. If I now go start a family business with my family, with my wife and kids, which I don't have, don't worry. Now I'm automatically going to be potentially, you know, economic bad guy because I started a business because I wanted to make money for my family and myself, and I wanted to achieve some aspect of financial freedom and financial self-determination. But then the actual problem in the economy is specifically our politicians understanding economics and understanding basic commercial activity in our economies. Understanding how they literally tied their own hands with their own procurement legislation. Because the downside is specifically, I've heard this so many times, we technically have people in the public sector that don't understand the Public Procurement Act itself. They don't understand legislation. They don't read the act. They've never read the act. They don't know what the act does. They don't know how the act works. But these are the functionaries sitting in those particular roles that have to help you, the private sector, make sense of their own act that you are governed by. And potentially, you know, you could always face a corruption charge here and there. But before we continue, dear listeners, we're going to take a short break. Come back right after that. Vivica University, where the 2026 applications are now open for the Faculty of Law, Commerce, and Education for the following programs. Diploma in Legal Studies, Level 6, Bachelor of Laws Honours, Bachelor of Science in Project Management Honours, Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honours, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours for Math and Science for the grades 4 to 7, and Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours for Math and Science for the grades 8 to 12. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvetia University, where everyone is an achiever. Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to $1 million Namibian in prizes. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. All you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2 liters, 1.25 liters, or 600 ml bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845 hashtag, punch in your code, follow the prompts to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to our social media pages to watch the video on how to enter the competition. So we come back, dear listeners, and primarily straightforward and, you know, and to the particular sort of like summarized letter. The talking point here is a question of, yes, are we going to make it? Maybe. Maybe. Are we going to participate in green hydrogen? Yes, we will be. To what extent? We don't know yet. No, clearly, that's a clear, straightforward scientific answer. We don't know yet. It's still in its preparation phase. And still, we've got agencies specifically in this country that are failing to provide us with the necessary data and statistics on a regular basis to understand the trend analysis in the employment landscape of Namibia. Because then we would just be drawing straws. We'd be clutching at clouds at this time. You see, an economic planner would be sitting in Johannesburg, would be sitting somewhere, let's say in Shenzhen in China, would be sitting in London, understanding, okay, what? We'd like to take things to Namibia. But what's happening in Namibia's employment scene? Now they have to go make sense of a thing known as the Labor Force Survey, which is technically a year old. It's a year old now. No, really, it's a year old. In between, Namibians were born, Namibians passed away, Namibians retired, Namibians resigned from certain roles, some Namibians had emigrated, some Namibians had come back to Namibia, some Namibians just decided, you know what, I'm giving up on anything that looks like an employment activity, I'm opening up my own business. And the information and data is not consolidated. It is not straightforward. It is not clearly defined. You sit there with a massive headache of who has to give me what to make sense of whatever. We cannot continue living with a big question mark on our foreheads. We cannot. We cannot look like Snow White's seven dwarves of uncertainty into perpetuity. 2030 is 5 years, but it's 5 years away from now. And we're still sitting with these question marks on our foreheads. Near, Owens. Near. Some things are straightforward. You can see it's a straightforward exercise. Some things are not. You literally have to move things to put them in position to get the results you wish to achieve. On that note, dear listeners, we take a short ad break and we come back right after that with the ending of today's show.
When life gifts you an unexpected expense.
How must I afford a new phone now?
Take control with Express Credit. Get reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 90,000.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
On that note, dear listeners, we end off on today's particular topic and subject and show for today on this lovely Wednesday. Do enjoy the rest of your programming in our company. We'll see each other again, same time, same place, here on The Home Run, here on your number one talk radio station. Enjoy the rest of your evening in our company. And remember, dear listeners, just observe and literally analyze the various media sources that you consume. On that note, stay tuned and enjoy the rest of your evening.